Good morning. Welcome to worship this day. We're so glad you're here with us, not only as we worship the risen Lord, but as we welcome Raya into the body of Christ through the sacrament of holy baptism this morning. We'll be doing that in just a couple of minutes, in fact. So we're all excited about that and glad that you all are here to share that with us. A lot of announcements in the bulletin this week. Please do take a look at those. There's a silly dance that's happening for parents or grandparents and children, young children. That's going to be this Saturday, and I think there's already a text message that I've been buzzing about this morning in my pocket. So look for that if you're involved in that group, or if you'd like to be, speak with Tina. Do want you to know about a few things that are upcoming as we look ahead. We are going to be starting in the next few weeks, starting next week, these will be available, a survey that we hope if you're a part of the life of this congregation that you will fill out. It's called a Congregational Vitality Survey, and it's just a way for us to get sort of a check on where we are and say, how are we feeling about Holly Grove Lutheran Church and our mission, and to sort of just take our temperature a little bit. And we'd like everybody to fill that out. Starting next week in the back, we'll have paper copies of that. And it's, you know, it's a one page front and back. It might take you 5 or 8 minutes to fill out. We'll also make available in the coming week a link to an electronic version of that if you prefer. And this is a fairly serious survey. This is not like something Pastor Matt put together and Pastor Matt will score. This is like something that the statistics department at Baylor University is contracted to work on with us. So we hope we get some good information from that, and we'll have those paper surveys available probably for the next 3 weeks, starting next week. In the back, and there'll be an envelope that you can put those back in. So if you want to take it home with you, that's fine. Just make sure that they're all back before the end of February. Latifah's reminding me something. I'm sorry? Don't fold them, Latifah is reminding me. Yeah, which is a good thing to remind, because since they're machine scored, if you fold them, then they can't go through the scanners the right way. But look for that next week, and we'll remind you, please fill it out, and please don't fold it when you turn it back in. Yeah. And then at the end of the month, the 24th, the last Sunday in February, we do have our annual congregational meeting to go over the results of the audit. So please plan to be with us that day. Are there other announcements we should be aware of this day for the good of the community? I know we've got a couple of things going on from the Fellowship Committee.
So, happy Valentine's Day from the Fellowship Committee. Did everyone get a Hershey's Kiss? The choir did not get Hershey Kisses. We may not be able to sing if we don't have a Hershey's Kiss. So we need several, Gavin. Everybody up here needs one. And so there is a heart in a bulletin that is by the prayer of the day.
Page 5 it would be.
On page 5. So the owner of that bulletin will get this Valentine card with a surprise in it.
Did you check yours, Gracie? Page 5. It's got to be somebody. Now the ushers are rifling through the bulletins.
Nobody. Have y'all looked through all the bulletins that are left back there? Yeah, I guess so.
Are
Yeah, Chip, come on up to your prayer shawl.
Nope. All right, well, who's the winner? Oh, Chip's going to come to a prayer shawl.
About 4 weeks ago, I had asked for a prayer shawl for my brother, Doug. He was in the hospital with heart issues. He wasn't doing well, but we thought he was on the mend. But I mailed him the prayer shawl. He lives in Wilmington, North Carolina. And the day he got the shawl, he called me and thanked Holly Grove for the church. And he said it warmed him all the way down to his soul. And that's not something my brother usually says. This prayer shawl today is for Shirley, his wife, because Doug passed away last Thursday. So this is for Shirley Johnson.
For those not familiar, we pass these prayer shawls and ask that you say a prayer of blessing for the recipient of the prayer shawl. Just add your prayers for a moment, and then you can pass it on to the next person.
It was found. Do you have it, Scott?
There you go. You're welcome.
Happy Valentine's Day.
We wish happy birthday this week to John Michael, to Raven, Etta Lee, Latifa, Taylor, Andy, Nathan, and I heard this morning also Conrad Summer, and to Carol Conrad as well. We wish happy birthday this week. Are there other names we should add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you and your family will come up this way. We're on page 227 in the front of your red book if you want to follow along with us. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Okay. If you'll present Raya for us.
I present Raya Michelle Parsons for baptism.
Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, Matthew and Monica, do you desire to have Raya baptized into Christ?
Amen.
As you bring Raya to receive the gifts of baptism, you're entrusted with responsibilities to live with her among God's faithful people, to bring her to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in her hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurture her in faith and prayer so that she may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help her grow in the Christian faith and life?
We do.
As sponsor, do you promise to nurture Raya in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help her live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? If so, I do. People of God gathered here, do you promise to support Raya and pray for her in her new life in Christ? If so, we do. I ask you all up here with me to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
So I'll ask you, and also all gathered here with us, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Okay, Raya. It's going to be just like we practiced. Can you stand up here with me?
Stand up.
Okay. Can you lean over a little bit, dear? Raya Michelle Parsons, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great job, dear. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Raya, I'm going to put my hand on your head, okay? Sustain Raya with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen. Now, if you'll wait for me, Raya, I'll be right back. I'm going to get this oil. Remember we talked about this? Raya, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Let your light shine.
so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
On the bottom of page 231, let us welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. Raya, would you come down here and do a little parade with me? Because do you know that all of these people are so happy to celebrate with you today because you are the newest member of the body of Christ that we know about in the whole wide world, and that means that you belong to God and God calls you and this is your family in Jesus, and they are all here and excited to support you, and we're going to ask them to do some supporting of you as you continue to grow in your faith. We're going to go back this way now, dear. She said, we're leaving, right? No, we did what we came to do. We're going to ask them to support you by being a faith mentor or and a teacher for you over the years. We are so blessed, Raya, that God claims us, and this is your new family. Let's support her now with a round of applause. You all are welcome to return to your seats, and you can blow that out, and we'll continue with our opening hymn. We continue on page 213 in the front of your book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you, angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace, make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up here for the children's message. Wanted to mention an announcement that I neglected before, and that is to say, if you don't have Facebook and you're not connected that way, you might not have seen, and want you to know that Cameron Cecil was born on Friday morning, and everybody's doing well. Debbie, help me, 6 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 and a half inches. So we celebrate with the Cecil family. I saw a picture of Keith on Facebook, and he was beaming. There's no other word to describe it. What a joy, and we're so glad. We look for Cameron up here in a couple years, right? Good morning. Do you guys know some things about fishing? I've seen some pictures. You've got fish? Okay. I've seen some pictures of some of you fishing, so I think you're going to be able to help me. You can put your hands down. We have a story today about these fishermen, okay? And the fishermen are out in their boats doing the thing they do, trying to catch fish. And Jesus says to them, you guys, I want you to come with me, and I'm going to have you catch people like you were catching fish. And so I'm sort of confused about that, and I thought you guys could maybe help me with this. First of all, when you guys catch fish, what do you need? Just like your bare hands and reflexes and you... No, what do you need, Ashton? A fishing rod with something on it. Okay. With food, with a worm on it. Okay, is that what you guys use? A fishing pole? All right, I got one of those. Excuse me, Gracie. So we're going to see about this and see if we can fish for people this morning. Does this look like it's going to work? All right, have a little faith. All right, here we go. So I got, all right, you said it needed to be a fishing rod. Okay, so I got the rod here. And look, I even have a hook on here. All right, so I'm just going to throw this out here and see if I catch anything. Is this how it works? Wait, Ashton, you said I was supposed to have something on the hook, right? I'm supposed to have a worm. That's for the pool. You're right. Okay. I am frustrating you guys because I am doing this. I'm not doing this well. Okay. So I think I hear what you're saying, that there's something wrong with what I'm doing. You said I needed to put some kind of bait on it, right? Now, bait is something that the fish want, right? So, but we're not really catching fish. We're going to try to catch people, right? And so, oh, I feel something on the line. We're going to try to catch people. So we need some, I'm going to just, let's see if I can get that hook back up here. We're going to see if we can get some bait on it. All right, there we go. We need something on here that people want, right? If we want them to get hooked on this. Well, I don't think that people would want to eat worms, probably. But what do we, if we're trying to get people and tell them the message of Jesus, I think maybe something that we could put on here that they would want to know is, well, I don't think people are going to want worms. People do like food. But you know what I think people really need? I think people need to know that God loves them. So we need to have some kind of bait on here about God's love. So let's assume that I've got the message of God's love on here. So once you've got that, you sort of just throw that out there. And then when that's out there, then it's all done and the fish just jump in your boat. Is that what happens?
You have to catch and reel it in.
You have to reel it in. Okay, you're going in a boat. So you have to do some work, even if you've got the bait, even if even if people know about God's love. The water, yeah, okay. But there's some work to do still. Is that what you guys are telling me? If it were a fish, we would have to reel it in. How do you think we reel people in to the message of God's love for them? I have an idea. I think we do pull them, but you know how I think we pull them? I think we pull them by us loving them to show them God's love. And that's maybe hard work, right? Just like it might be hard work to reel in a big fish from down at the bottom of the lake, like a shark or anything. The way, or a big bass, that's right. The way that we reel in people. Okay, thank you. The way that we reel people in is we do the work of we have to love people, okay? And that's hard because some people are easy to love, right? But sometimes people are hard to love too. Sometimes people aren't loving to us. Sometimes people don't treat us the way that they should. But the way that we reel people in to God's love is that we love people because God loves people. Even if we don't think we want to love them, even if they're not nice to us, the way that we bring people into God's message is that we love them. And once we do that, oh boy, we can catch all kinds of big ones out here, I can tell you. So that's what I need you guys to help me with, is I need you guys to practice reeling people in with God's love, and that means being loving to people even if they're not loving to us, so that they know God loves them. Well, if we were really catching them and not speaking metaphorically, Ashton, you would be absolutely right, dear. And we'll talk about this more over the years as you get a little bit older. Yep, with a real fishing pole on the lake. But can you guys help me by loving people, even if maybe they're not kind to you? Can you do that? Okay. That would be wonderful, and that would be a way that you guys could point to God's love in the world. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for us, okay? You guys can just listen. Lord God, thank you for providing for us with your bountiful creation. Thank you for the fish of the sea and the birds and beasts of the air and the land, for the plants that provide food for us and nourishment. We're so thankful. We ask, Lord, that you would help us love other people as a way to show them your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Now, if you are... Okay, hold up. If you are going to children's church, you can line up at the door, or you're welcome to stay in church with us. You can stay in here with us, too.
The first reading on the fifth Sunday after Epiphany comes from the book of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am the man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate. Until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land, even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again. Like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled, the holy seed is its stump." the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalms for today is Psalms 138. Will be read by whole verse responsibly. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Second reading comes from 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received. The Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, us to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, Jesus saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying,
Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were there with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So our readings this morning present us with three call stories. First, we heard Andy read the call of the prophet Isaiah. Then we heard about the call of the apostle Paul. And finally, Luke's account of Jesus' calling of his first disciples. And it's actually pretty fitting that we'd hear these three call stories this morning, because we believe we witnessed another call just this morning when in water and word here, Raya was claimed by God as precious child. And with that claiming comes God's call for her. God has said to her and to all of us who are baptized, "You are mine. I love you. Now follow me." And Raya doesn't remember this, and I don't remember if I said anything to Monica or not. I can't recall, but the first day that I met her, I remember standing still in the nursery in the incubator room over there in Thomasville Hospital with you, Matthew, and we prayed for Raya to hear God's call. Matthew and I stood in there, and I think I held her foot maybe while she was in the incubator. And we prayed for all the things that you'd think of with a newborn baby, that she'd be healthy and strong, that she'd put on some weight that she needed at that point so she could go home. But above all, we prayed that she would grow to be the person that God is calling her to be, right? And today was a step on that path, a step in that direction for Raya. And so now that she... Now that we, who are the community of the baptized, have been claimed and called, what can we expect from here on out? What happens next? And I think these three call stories in Scripture give us some idea about what we might expect. And what I notice is that if you're pretty happy with the way things are, if you don't want your life to change, well, you might want to avoid an encounter with the holiness of God, because in all three cases of the scriptures we read this morning, things seem to change pretty drastically for the ones encountered and called by God. First, there's Isaiah, right? And Isaiah goes from being just some guy with unclean lips, as he describes himself, to one who speaks as the prophet of the Lord. And immediately he's sent out with this really unpleasant message about cities that will lie in waste without inhabitant and houses without people and the land utterly desolate. I don't imagine that's what Isaiah was hanging out doing before this encounter with God, right? And then we hear about Paul, who goes from being a persecutor of the church to being an apostle. In this 180-degree turn, that's a complete change for the trajectory of his life. And then finally, we hear about James and John and Simon Peter, who go from being small business owners one moment, you know, with their fishing boats and all their gear, and in the very next breath, they're leaving it all behind for the sake of following Jesus. So I think it's pretty safe to assume, for Raya and for us, that when we encounter God, we don't come away the same as we were before. Something changes. What we believe has changed is that the stranglehold of sin and death on us has been broken, because by claiming us in water and word, God has joined us to the risen life of Jesus Christ. We have been covered by the righteousness of Jesus, and so therefore we have been made heirs to the promise of eternal life. Not, we should note, because we deserve any of that, right? Did Isaiah deserve to stand in the presence of the Lord and be God's messenger?
Isaiah didn't think he deserved it. He says, "Woe is me. I'm a lost man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." He didn't deserve it, but God redeems him anyway, blotting out his sin. And it's a similar story, actually, for Paul, who himself admits that he's unfit even to be called an apostle after what he did to those who believed in Jesus. Similarly, again, when Simon Peter realizes in this story of fishing from Luke that the presence of God in Jesus is here before him, he falls down and cries out, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." But all three of them are called by God anyway, so it can't be about our deserving, which is good news, right? Because we routinely fall short of who and what God calls us to be. And yet, God calls us anyway. God claims us anyway, just as God has called Isaiah and Paul and Simon Peter. It's pure grace. You all think there might be some moments where Raya messes up? I think there might be some coming. Do you think there'll be times where she gets it royally wrong and where she sometimes hurts people in the process? I expect there will be, right? That's part of what it means to be human, which is why it's so important for us who care about her and who support her growth in the life of faith to remind her of who she is, that whatever else anybody might say about her, whatever she might even think about herself sometimes, at her core, we know who she is, a beloved child of God, claimed, forgiven, fed, and freed for the sake of doing God's work in the world. That's our responsibility as parents and faith mentors. That's the responsibility we have as a family of faith for her, this congregation, to help her know that what defines her, what's at her core, who she is precious child of God, loved beyond belief and called to serve in a world full of need. It's something worth hearing over and over again. It's something worth being reminded of. It's the same kind of reminding that Paul's doing for the believers in Corinth when he says, "Now, I would remind you of the good news, brothers and sisters, that Christ died for our sins and that he was raised," right? This is the kind of reminding we all need on a regular basis, that despite whatever darkness lurks in your world, in your life, or even in your heart, you, yes, you, are a precious child of God, and God loves you so much that God sends Jesus to save you. Jesus, who walked among us, directed these first disciples to this giant catch. Jesus, who death could not hold, who has defeated the final power of death. Jesus, who redeems us and calls us to catch people and draw us into the kingdom of God. Jesus, who will come again to make all creation new and set right the hurt of the world. This is the one that you are joined to. This is who we are, the people who believe, the people who are rooted in this identity. And all of that means that we can't be the same as we were before we encountered God. We can't look the same as the world that doesn't know God. If we believe, then we act like we do. We can't act like we don't, because encounters with God do not leave people the same as they were. They change us forever. And as miraculous as the catch of fish was that Jesus directs Simon, James, and John to haul in, it's not the only miracle of the story, and maybe it's not even the most impressive one. The other miracle that happens here is that once they take in all these fish and bring them to the shore, the fishermen walk away, right? They leave it all there and follow him. Meaning, it sounds like not only do they leave their boats and nets that would have been their livelihoods, they also presumably leave all those fish that would have been hugely valuable to them at market. They leave them right there because their encounter with God has left them changed. Their priorities are different now. I'm here to remind you this morning that God encounters you in the waters of your baptism. God claims you, and God calls you. You are changed because of that. Your priorities have to be different. You can't live like nothing is different. So what do you do? What do we do as the people of God? In everything that we are and all that we have, we strive to follow Jesus. That's who we are, the people who believed, the people who have been changed, the people who now can't help follow Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious Lord, we pray for your church on earth. Give us courage to answer your call and keep us faithful to your life-giving word. Send us out to be the good news of your love for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the good earth that you have made, for tundra and forests, grasslands and deserts. We pray for those who fish and those who farm, for ranchers, gardeners, and all whose work brings food to our tables. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the nations. Grant wisdom to all those in authority, particularly our governor, Roy, and our president, Donald. Strengthen peacekeepers, ambassadors, military personnel, and disaster relief workers. Protect families who have had to leave their homes because of war, natural disasters, or rejection in their community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord God, for those in need, for those whose lives are in times of turmoil, for those who wrestle with addiction, for those who are burdened by anxiety or self-doubt, for those who grieve, and for those who are ill. Especially we pray for Burnett, the family of Jane, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, the family of Doug, Billy, Gracie, Wayne, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, Kevin, James, Tyler, Robin, Dean, Tony, Gary, Becky, Joanne, Vince, Walter, Marty, Scotty, Tyler, Ed, the family of Grace, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the newly baptized all over the world this morning, and especially for Raya. Give all your people a sense of their calling and strengthen us with the conviction to follow Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, creating God, for the ways you continue to bring new life and joy into this world. We thank you for the safe arrival of Cameron on Friday. Help him to grow healthy and strong, and above all, Lord, we pray that he would grow to be the person you are calling him to be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers, gracious God, and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another.
Let us pray. Thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you, for your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love, for your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen your love. For the sake of a world in need, faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen.
Sing together the Lord's Prayer.
Father,
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is on page 5. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Oh,
Go in peace, serve the Lord.